I think it would be important to recognize that I'm very bigoted. I think it's important to recognize that I'm very self-centered and bigoted. I think it's important to recognize that's the truth. I'm Herb Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Absolute Philosopher. I think I'm God. And now, everybody in the world who hears me say that thinks that I'm a little out of kilter, you know, a little off base. And that's a wonderful thing to think that I'm off base by saying that. But think of how you talk. What does a mother say about her son or her daughter? Let's start out with, what does a woman say about her man? Her man can do no wrong. Why do they have the courts say that a woman cannot testify against her husband? Because the woman believes the man can do no wrong, and he cannot. Now, does a mother say about her child, that's my child, they're perfect? Does she say that? Yes. Does she say, you say my child did that? No way, my child didn't do that. The mother might suspect that the child might have, but she says, no way, not my child. Well, you see, the mother is the creator of her world, her husband or her children or whomever. And as the creator of her world, she says about her world that her world is good and very good. And she says that it is faultless. And so that's what I say about my world. I have people in my world, my personal family, my son, my wife, and relatives, and I say they're all perfect. I have a perfect sister. Oh, I may talk about things that the family does, but if you were to say the same things that I say about my family in a negative way, I'd shoot you. You're not allowed to do that. I can do it because I don't believe it. I don't believe that my son makes a mistake or that my wife is bad or that my brothers or sisters or mother and father or anybody have done anything silly. I don't believe that. I'm the creator. Now, what really shows what a good creator I am is when the rest of the world looks at my creation and sees them like I see them. When the rest of the world looks at my creation and sees them whole and perfect like I see them whole and perfect. Now, how does that come about? It comes about very easily. It comes about by me being one-pointed in everything I do. One-pointed in everything I say. One-pointed in everything I think. I see everybody fabulous. I see everybody great. Now, I may pick on people, and that's part of my game, is to pick on people, because I pick on people to shake their chain, to shake their boat, to test them. Now, Herb, what right do you have to test them? People come to me and say, Herb, will you teach me your philosophy? And I say, sure. And so I am the teacher, and I say, Sylvia, take out your paper now. I don't say it like that. I say, Sylvia, take out your work paper. And so Sylvia takes out her work paper. And I say, Sylvia, write down these problems. And then after you write them down, then you answer them. So problem number one, Sylvia, 2 times 2 equals, and don't write down the answer, just write down the problem. 2 times 2 equals. Now, your next problem, 2 times 3 equals. Your next problem is 7 plus 7 plus 7 equal. That's a hard one. And then I go on and I give you 10 questions, 10 tough problems. And then Sylvia comes up, I don't know what 7 plus 7 plus 7 is. And I said, Sylvia, do you know your threes? I know my threes. Well, what is 2 times 3? 6. What is 3 times 3? What is 4 times 3? What's 7 times 3? 21. Oh, that is so easy. Well, you said 3 plus 3 plus 3, that's 3 times 7. 7 times 3. 7 plus 3 times, you know. Well, I'm teaching you to think in the different ways about mathematics. Oh, that's so hard. Why do you have to give me that tough one like that? You know, well, you see, it's not really tough. And I give you these testers, these chain pullers, and you say, oh, that's terrible. That's so terrible. And it's not terrible. It's just a matter that you don't want to be taught. You say, I want to learn the way I want to learn. I say, okay, go talk to your father. Go talk to your uncle. Go talk to your teacher at school and let them teach you. And so then you, as a smarty pie, you go next door to your buddy and you say, Marianne, I want to learn the multiplication tables. And Marianne is your same age, but Marianne has a computer. And Marianne says, oh, such nothing. Come here. And so she shows you her computer and she brings up her mathematics table. Says, see, here it is. Just press 2 plus 2 equals, and they give you the answer. 2 times 2, 2 minus 2, you know, and stuff like that. And anything you want. 3 times 7, you know, gives you your answer. Ooh, I like that, I like that. So, right away, she asks her mother for a computer. And her mother thinks, oh my goodness, she wants to learn all about computers. And that's beautiful. So she buys her a nice computer. And she immediately learns where to go for the calculator on the computer so she can add all these things up and do these things. Well, now that's all good, but what is it that she's not doing by going to the calculator? She's not learning the principle. Now, will you always have a calculator at your fingertips when it comes to adding? When you're in the grocery store, do you have a calculator? You could take it along, but do you? You don't. And when you're talking to your friends and your friend says, look, I just got a deal from my uncle. He gave me $7,350. But he said I had to share it equally with four friends. $7,380, and I got to share it with equally four friends. Now, will you help me figure that out, and I'll give you, you'll be one of the four. Oh, that's no problem. So you divide four into it, and you come up with the answer. And then another friend says, oh, just a minute, that's my computer. And, brruh, 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 and up it comes, same answer. And then another kid comes along, and he says, what's your question? Well, divided by four. Nope. And instantly he knows it. You know, he's one of these whiz kids who knows these things and has all this knowledge inside of his mind. And he gives you the answer. And then he says, well, that's four of us now. We've all come up with the four answers. So I share it now. And when do we get our money? Oh, that was just a problem that my uncle sent me. That wasn't really money. Oh, okay. Not too cool, you know. But you see, the thing is, if you don't speak clearly and say, this is a problem my uncle sent me to figure out, instead of saying, my uncle said he would give me so much money, my uncle said, if I were to give you so much money and ask you to divide it between four friends, between four people, what would you come up with? You see, then, but how we ask the question and how we answer the question are major things in our thinking system. No. When you say to a person who is a genius in mathematics and you teach him your algebraic programs and your different other programs and you say, I want to have the solution here. And he say, oh, that's the solution. No. You got to tell me how you got there, how you arrived at that solution. Well, why? I already know it. Well, I have to know that you didn't copy it from somewhere. Well, did you ask anybody else that question? No. Does anybody else know the answer to that question? No, because you haven't asked it. So, therefore, I couldn't have copied it from anybody. That doesn't make any difference. You have to know how to do it. Well, now, teachers teach incorrectly. They teach you have to know how to do it. Instead of saying, it is so fascinating to take this this answer and work it backwards and figure out how we arrived at that answer. How we did that, you know, and the fun of doing it. It's just like when I was watching I Dream of Jeannie. They were having a rodeo, and the Major Anthony was in the rodeo, and he was doing all sorts of silly things, and he was bouncing up and down, and he was bouncing here and there, and his head was going back and forth like he had done in the boxing match some weeks before, and you know, it's just absolutely stupid, totally contrary to human configuration and human ability, especially since Jeannie hadn't helped him. He had to do it himself. She didn't even know what he was doing. But how could she not know what he's doing? If she has the ability to accomplish anything, to think anything, to do anything, see, there's inconsistency in there. And that inconsistency makes it kind of hard to watch sometimes. But you want to be very careful. You are the student, and you are the teacher. And you want to teach yourself how to do everything perfectly. And when you say, I know that I know that I know the divine in me knows the answer, the divine in you knows how you got the answer, as well as how what the answer is. Don't go leaping out the window and saying, I know how to fly. You can jump off the edge of the porch here and say, I know how to fly. You can stand still and say, I know how to fly. Have you ever seen a bird stand on the porch and then fly away? They didn't have to jump off the edge of the porch. They didn't have to jump off a tree. They know how to fly. And so this is what I would have each one of you. Well, I'm not a bird. No, you use a different principle. Who could tell me what the word for that principle is or how you describe it? Two words.
I'm
being
there.
Being there. So the bird just thinks of himself being there. And flip, up he goes. The bee, the beetle, the jet airplane, all these things, because they're just being there, really. When you stop and think about it, there's no other reason for it, but it is exciting. But you see, we live in a very wonderful world, and we live in a world that we create by our thought. We live in a world that we demonstrate by our thought. And if there's anybody in your world that you don't like, well, that means there's a part of you that you don't like. And you certainly cannot afford to have any part of you that you don't like. And if there's any person in your world who is naughtier, not pleasant to you or to anybody else in their world, you can't afford to have them in your world. Kill them. Destroy them. Well, how do you kill them and destroy them? Well, you just stop thinking about them and start thinking about them being harmonious. Just stop thinking about them and start thinking about them being harmonious. Now, is that what you want? Then think about that. Put that power into motion for yourself and watch the magic happen. But it's up to you. Just like we lie so much and we don't take credit for it. But the principle takes credit for it and gives us all of the garbage that our lies have brought for us. We know how to do everything. We speak our word. We create a world of happy people, harmonious people, abundant people, joyful people. Ingeborg has never met a person in her life that she doesn't like, because Ingeborg looked at every person out of her own loving eyes. And Sylvia, she's never met a person in her world she needs to have something from. Nobody. There's not one person who can compliment Sylvia that she doesn't already realize that that's already proven true. She doesn't need anyone to compliment her. She doesn't need approval from anybody on anything she does. She just does her own thing and is happy about it. Ingeborg does her own thing and she's happy about it. And she creates a world of wisdom and wonder and magic and fun around her. Ellen, she creates a whole family, her family going back generations, and her grandfather, great-grandfather, great-great-grandfather, and mother, and what have you, were all geniuses, super people. And, of course, it shines out through Ellen. But Ellen shines out something different. Ellen is a genius in ways that her grandparents or her family could never have been. They could never have been because they weren't willing to let go of the past. But Ellen has learned to live in the now and let go of the past and be the genius now. And what about you, Anita? Are you living in the past? Sure you are. What kind of father have you got? What kind of mother have you got? What kind of sisters have you got? Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, right? Mm-hmm. Every one of them. Yes. Do they have any faults? No.
Nope.
If they had faults, it would be you. And you're not going to mess yourself up by having faults in other people. That is you. So you look at everybody in your world, and you see them, wow, I just sort of humbly fall beneath the joy of their presence, you know. And it's wonderful. And this is how it works. So let's all create our world every single moment exactly the way we want it. And there is no room for complaints. There's no room for comparison. There's no room for feeling unhappy about anything. There's only room for being happy and being yourself at all times. Enjoy! I love you, I love you, I love you!
Bye.